What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Guest Friday. We're talking some PLL this week. Got Sam Brown, got Chris Burns here. Fellas, great to have you back.
Thanks for having us, Garrett. This is my favorite episode of the year.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Sam and I are always down to talk lacrosse, so super pumped.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to get into it. PLL, we're a couple weeks into the season, 2 weeks in. Third week coming up. I was going to actually look at this to figure out where they are week three. I'm just going to pull this up quickly.
I think they're in Philly.
They're in Philly. Okay.
Villanova, baby. V's up.
Is that where they are?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes,
Does that
Philadelphia, that
mean
is where they are.
that's where they
Does
play?
that
Yeah.
mean they're gonna have like a specific lacrosse stadium, or do they play on the football field?
They play on the football field.
Gotcha.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love
And
that.
so
That's
and
great.
every PLL team, when they have the home weekend, they play two games and one team gets a bye. So Philly plays Friday and Saturday. It's just yeah.
I really like that it's got the like home team locales now. I think that's really, really cool. I think that's was the next logical step
Yeah.
that they could do.
There is a Carolina Chaos super fan going by the Carolina Reaper. He's a character. Like, he's masked up. Like, he looks like the Grim Reaper, all
Love
dressed out in
that.
white. But like the decals he has are like it's I'm forgetting the term. Well, like it's like Nacho Libre. What was Nacho Libre? Like the Mexican pro wrestling.
Lucha Libre?
Yeah, like is it a luchador? Is that what they're
Luchador,
called?
yes.
Yeah,
Yes,
yeah.
a
So he's kind of
luchador,
like
yes.
dressed up like that. Like that was
Yes,
his
that is so
aesthetic with
sick.
like the Grim Reaper. He's cool.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's cool. And like I'm in Denver, and so it's cool they have the Outlaws back because there are a bunch of people who are like fans of the Outlaws. And so like you'll be at like thrift stores or whatever and see like Outlaws hats and shirts from like 10 years ago because it was like a team then. So I mean it's cool. It's cool to have them back.
That is pretty cool. So, obviously, we're early into the season. You guys watched a couple games. I watched a couple games. I'm curious about takeaways so far the first 2 weeks. Who's looking good? Who's playing well? I don't know how much we can really take away from team's performance 2 games in, but yeah, just let me know what you guys have noticed so far.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll go. Sam, I don't know what you think, but I feel like the early season PLL is a lot of like feeling out. I think a lot of times, a lot of impact players are rookies and they're coming off like a long season in college. And they like, it's literally like if you're playing the Final Four, you have like 5 days to rest and it's game one. So like a lot of it is like sort of like some guys are like trying to figure out what their role is in the offense, figure out how to mesh. So I think a lot of times, like you'll see early season games don't have a ton of reflection on sort of the end of season, and like teams who start slow have made the finals before. That's not rare. That being said, I think a couple teams look good. I think Boston looks good and Philly both looks good, which I don't think is a big surprise, but they're both undefeated and they both look strong, I thought.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you meant like about the rookies, because I it's like the guys that like don't make it quite all the way to the championship game, they look pretty good. I think they're like pretty dialed in, and I definitely think there might be some burnout that goes along with like towards the end of the season. But trainer for the Atlas that first weekend, he looked really good. I think he got a couple goals in each game. And he playing for Penn State, he made it to he actually he didn't make it to championship weekend, but he didn't make it all the way to Monday. And he looked really good. And then there's this guy from Army, which was kind of like the snub of the tournament, and he looks really good. Is it Eichner?
Yeah,
Eichford?
Jackson Eichner. So I think dead onto that. I'm pretty sure he was undrafted, but part of that being because people that know his like Army obligations. But he came out hot. I think I was just checking earlier before this. I think he's second in points right now, like in the whole
Yeah.
league. And so like
And
he's done really well.
they need him too. Because like there's been a lot of turnover with that Carolina Chaos team. Their coach left in like the middle of the off season, and they've had generally slow starts. Like I'm not entirely sure the status of Josh Byrne because the NLL playoffs overlaps with the beginning of the Premier Lacrosse League season, and he's typically a box lacrosse guy. And I think he's a high impact player, a veteran. So it's kind of like, does he still have more room to like continue to being like one of the elite attackmen of this league, or is he sort of on the downwind of his career? So like. The Chaos are a team that's like in that kind of awkward neutral phase of we don't really know what to expect with them. And I think that's going to come with time in the beginning of the year. But yeah, I agree. Like Boston, Archers, and Philly are like, to me, the three best teams. Mm-hmm. And then like California has two wins to start, but like, I'm not enthusiastic about who they beat. Cause Carolina does not look very good. They don't really have an identity outside of Blaze Reardon and some veterans on the defense, but like Eichner's keeping the offense afloat, but it's like, if the ball ends up in a stick in an advantageous like situation, he'll put it in, but he's not necessarily like a creator either. And then the other team they beat, I absolutely whomped them. Got ugly with fast was Denver, which was gonna be the first Friday night, which was exciting game for a little bit. But yeah, Denver's got some guys, but they don't really have much of an identity.
Yeah, I don't think Denver is very good at all. I mean, I think Carolina's in that same boat, and their one win was over Denver. Like, I think Denver and Carolina are definitely bottom of the barrel. I think Denver has a little more offensive, like, upside and, like, talent. I mean, I think they just got Jared Bernhardt from and so now they have, I think it's four Tourton winners on their offense, which is pretty crazy. And I think something about them, which I think it's going to take some time to maybe figure out, and, like, hopefully they can snag a late playoff spot. But they have a lot of guys who play attack in college who are now – you're maybe making that switch to midi. It's way easier in a shorter field that you don't have to run as much. And like those guys who, like, if you get Brendan O'Neill running midi, like and they got other guys on their roster. Like if one of those guys get a shorty and they abuse the matchup, like it's going to be really hard to defend that team. So I think they're definitely more interesting than Carolina, but they've not been great so far.
Yeah, totally. Like having those four star attackmen, they each bring something a little bit different to the table. But it does feel like there's too many cooks in the kitchen sometimes, especially with like a shortened shot clock. There's two possessions you can have. There's one that begins with 32, and there's another one that's 56, I believe. So in that 56, you have more of an opportunity to settle the ball, take subs. But that 32, you have to go fast. And I was reading an article before this that Denver has like the worst true shooting percentage and the least amount of assisted goals. So it's not something like you like really would like anticipate with like a lot of like, right. Like other than CJ Kurse going back from 2024 through 2021, those four straight Tourton winners. Yeah. Are all on the same team. And Bernhardt coming in just this last week, but I think Brendan O'Neill is the best player in the league. And Bernhardt has a that senior year he had at Maryland was ridiculous. And then just to go have a cup of coffee in the NFL, like he's clearly an athlete and one of the best ones in the league, regardless of how long he's like picked up a stick.
Yeah, I agree. But I do also think that kind of what we said earlier, like it's not a super long season, but there's still a lot of weeks left. I think a lot of these teams are going to find their footing. And like, I think the standings right now might not be indicative of what we see at the end of the year. Like, yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I think it is interesting, like with the season kind of being short, as you said, but then it's like there's two teams I looked at that have only played one game so far this season. Or is it?
Yeah, Philly hasn't played, but they like totally whomped Maryland.
Okay.
But last year, sometimes when you're looking at like the Outlaws with a ton of really talented players, but it's like the chemistry's off. Like it's clearly off. The same was said about Philly last year. Like their offense stunk. So they moved some guys around. I think they went a little bit younger. They traded one of their midfielders to Maryland. Begins with a C. I'm not great with names, as you can tell. But
okay.
Yeah, they kept Keenan McArdle. Hannah's getting a lot more run, and he's fun. Like if you want to talk about like fun guys, like Jack Hanna, I'm a big fan of, because like he's not afraid to let it go, like shoot that ball at all. But he's become a better Dodger, and he's coached by his former coach from Denver. So I'm pretty excited about him getting more opportunity, and I do think like the shakeup was really good for Philly. But like you can have a lot, like really talented Connor Kelly. Connor Kelly was traded, but you can have like a really talented team and just like have to shake it up sometimes, even if like the championship wasn't so far in the rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Sam, you didn't even mention their best player, Michael Sowers, though. I mean, he tied the record for like seven assists week one. I mean, I think Philly could be really good, and they do have CJ Kurse, who had one of the best college seasons ever, and he hasn't played for them yet because he was injured. And they did trade for Zed Williams, who I think is on the back half of his career, but like a former MVP who, like, I think, like, he's a guy, if they end up in the playoffs, you give him the ball for a few possessions in the playoffs and he's going to make something happen. So I think
agree.
That's going to make a difference. Like a guy who's been had that experience with the Whipsnakes a bunch. I don't know. I kind of think that they're in a very interesting team.
Yeah, and they got the Swiss Army knife in Zach Currier, who can just do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Like, he's not who you're calling on to, like, be your leading scorer game to game, but, like, he can get that done and win you some faceoffs, ground ball machine. So, like, yeah, I do really like Philly a lot. There's two other teams we haven't talked about that are really good, and that's Atlas and Archers. And, like, Archers, I mean, back-to-back defending champs. Gun to my head, that's who I would pick to win it all this year. Like, give it a three-peat, which seems like, I don't know, like, maybe your mentals kick in and three are hard to string in a row together. But, like, what I really like about Archers is there's guys that come in the league and it feels like there's an oversaturation of attack, which is, like, the case with, like, the Outlaws. But they've been able to figure it out where they've had guys like Trey LeClair come in as, like, a big Canadian attackman, switch to a two-way midfielder. Grant Amen, he's on in and out of the roster given to injuries, but when he's in, he looks great. And he can play midfield rather than just staying at attack the entire time and coming out of the box and really giving you a pace push. And then, you know, Tom Schreiber, like, I'm talking about all the little components around the scenes, but, like, yeah, they also have a league MVP in Tom Schreiber.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. Like, I'm just have the roster pulled up right now. It's so different than the Outlaws, where Outlaws have, like, so many good attackmen. And for the Archers, they do have, I mean, Mac O'Keefe's a lethal shooter, yeah, but he gets some burnout midfield there, has in the past. And same for Connor Fields, who, I mean, unbelievable, like, NLL, the box MVP this past year. I mean, he's had a great start to the season, but he's also played some midi back in his day. So I think also they're dangerous. And, like, when you have a guy like Fields who, I think, like, him and Garnsey and a couple other guys are in that conversation where, like, if there's 5 seconds left on the shot clock, 7 seconds left, and, like, it's a shot out of bounds, like, give them the ball, they'll do something crazy, and, like, it might just go in. And I think there aren't a ton of guys who you can trust like that. And so he's, like, super creative, and, like, you need that when it matters sometimes.
Totally. Yeah, you need it. You need it. Because, like, there's one shot clock that feels way too fast in, like, 32. I like it. It's entertaining. You get a lot of shots going at the net. But, like, there's a lot of times now where they realize, you know, instead of, like, push it and take a crazy shot, you're better off rolling the ball into the corner and getting subs out and rather than just get beat in transition and have tired guys in the field. And so,
I will say to that, I wouldn't hate a little bit of a gameplay change if they increase the shot clock a little bit. I think there are too many possessions where they roll in the corner. And, like, I understand the thought process. Like, you want a quick shot clock. You want more transition goals. But I find what often happens is, like, if a team is slow in the sub game, like, you burn half your shot clock just, like, subbing guys in and out. And then you have, like, 25 seconds to get into your offense. Say the first look doesn't work, then you're down to, like, 15, 10 seconds. And, like, I think there's a lot of times where they just throw in the corner, and I wish they had a little more time to set up their offense, because I think sometimes there is a little bit too much, I don't want to say too much back and forth, but I just think the offense needs more time to settle sometimes.
Yeah, just 10 more seconds, I think, makes a crazy difference. Like, I always felt that you should be able to get, like, a quality look if you go at 8 seconds, especially from X. And we haven't talked about Atlas, but when we bring up Atlas in a moment, like, we have to talk about the X attackman, because then you have, like, you start off with basically either a one-on-one, or you can do, like, a little pick and roll action behind the crease. And then, like, everyone you have available to pass it to is, like, facing the net also. Like, I don't know why they've gotten away from it. And you need those 10 seconds to set it back up down there again. But, like, that's something that I'm missing in, like, the league to start this season. And then, like you said, like, the sub game, some teams have it, some teams don't. I think you need to have a downfield attacking midfielder. And, like, a lot of these attackmen who played at college, high draft picks are now, like, are they coming off the bench through the box? Or are they going to be, like, a starting attackman? There's kind of some confusion around that.
So you guys have mentioned the two different shot clocks. What's the difference between those two? Or, like, how do you know when those get used?
All right, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. So, like, the 32-second shot clock, 32 or 36? I think it's
52. 32. It's 52.
It's 52. Okay.
Yeah.
It's 52 and 36?
I believe on a reset, yeah.
Yeah, so right after the face-off, they want like a high push-up, like pace of play.
Right.
And that's going to be your condensed shot clock. And then also if there's a deflection out of bounds, so a situation like that, shot goes behind the net, you have to like return the ball to play. Right. Those will be your reduced shot clocks.
Okay.
And then in the clear, when the goalie grabs the ball or like, you know, there's just a change of possession in the defensive end,
mm-hmm.
shot clock starts then like it does in the NBA.
Okay.
So yeah, you like, even if you get snagged up for like 10, 15 seconds in your defensive end, like that can really hurt. Mm-hmm. But these guys are so good. You don't see messed up clears like you do in college. Yeah. College, yeah, you see those mistakes happen.
That's just interesting. I didn't know that there was like a different shot clock. I guess I've not been watching closely enough, but
yeah, really, and just add one more point on that to clean it up. 52 regularly, and then it goes down to 32 seconds on like a shot hits the post and the offense gets the ball.
Mm-hmm.
But the big one that comes into play is off a face-off where it's 32 okay. seconds. Because what you'll see, like teams like the Water Dogs don't really carry a face-off guy. Like they'll win 3 of 20 face-offs like the entire game, but it doesn't matter a ton because if you have
mm-hmm.
they get the ball a few seconds here, a few seconds there, usually there's not a great possession off that first face-off.
Right.
So,
well, that's,
yeah,
kind of
interesting, yeah, they play it an interesting way.
Strategy-wise.
Yeah, right. So, so r/lacrosse on Reddit, they love talking about the shot clock. I feel like it's like 1 every 5 posts. Or sorry, not the shot clock, the face-off. Like, there's like a whole, like, I think it's like the more like loud minority of like lacrosse fans that want the shot or the face-off like taken out of the game. I think it definitely has a place in the game. Like, it's just a fun physical way to start. Like, I think it's like a very signature part of the game.
Yeah.
Like, I think non-lacrosse fans know that it's like just a battle. It's like kind of a wrestling match with the ball to begin to play. Mm. So like that aspect of tradition, I definitely appreciate.
Mm.
But also, like, I love having like a pure face-off guy that can win you the ball quickly. Like, Baptiste is like, in my opinion, still a top 5 player in the league. Because, he can win the face-off, like, the majority of the time, like, well over the majority of the time, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can score goals and play defense.
Right. Hmm. Yeah, that's absolutely. I remember watching him in college.
Mm-hmm.
He's a stud. Yeah. He still got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So another one of the points that I wanted to talk to you guys about was kind of, like, where professional lacrosse is right now in terms of PLL, and like, do you both feel that professional lacrosse is like in a good place? Do you think that there's anything more that they could do to kind of get more exposure? Do you feel like it's in a good place right now?
Yeah, I think I'll start. I think Sam and I have talked about this before. I think it's in a pretty good spot. I think one thing to consider, like, it's a pretty new league. This is like, it's, I don't know, like 6th, 7th year maybe. Right. And so I think like there are a lot of fans who are like, oh, like it should be growing faster, but it's hard for a league to just pop like that. You have to have organic growth. I think it's really good to have games on ESPN, and not only like ESPN Plus is kind of a pain sometimes, but even just like that they're covering it on ESPN is nice. Like, there's been multiple goals on like lacrosse top 10, which I think just like, it's not huge, but I think it helps. It makes it look more legit. Like, when you see ESPN is posting lacrosse as the number one, it kind of helps lacrosse a little bit. I think you're always going to have, like, the diehard fans, the ones who love it. But I think, like, the natural organic growth is going to happen more with, like kids playing lacrosse more, like, playing through high school and keep on following it post-college. Because I think right now it's – I would still say college is definitely the peak of lacrosse, like, in from fandom and, like, sort of watching. So, I mean, I think it's doing a pretty good job. It's hard to point at things and say they did that right, they did that wrong.
Right.
But, I mean, I think it just takes time.
Yeah.
Yeah, well said. Also, I mean, I agree with, like, pretty much everything Chris says. And I want to reiterate, like, it is growing. Like, it's absolutely growing. And what, like, maybe there's an issue with you got to subscribe to ESPN Plus. But, like, look, I've spent, like, $15 a month in way worse ways. Like, this is fine. Like, it's totally fine. I like, actually – the coverage on ESPN Plus is really good between like who calls the game, the color commentators, the play-by-play guys, like it's the same crew from college lacrosse and for the last 20 years. They're great. Cause they can call the game like your typical play-by-play and it feels very natural. And even like they're good about like not talking all the time also, but then they have like good banter with each other. They'll talk about the players, what they're seeing, like the X's and O's, the more fine stuff, and then they'll tell stories. It's interesting. They keep it engaging. Like, I think ESPN's coverage of lacrosse is really good. And then there's fun stuff like the mic'd up. I think that's really nice. They're like, now, like, it's very mainstream in a lot of these sports. Like in like baseball, they'll interview the right fielder for like an inning, and that's fun. Mm. But here in lacrosse, you can do the same thing, but it's like more violent. Like, yeah. It's interesting glimpse into the game. Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of negatives I'd say is like, it is still like, there are a few cases where players like had to retire, like took like a leave off because they have like jobs and they can't take the summer off because it doesn't pay it great. Like, I know Will Bowen, who's like really good defender, coming out of college from Georgetown, and like he played for a couple of years, and then I think he had like a pretty good like job in New York, and like just can't do it, which is super unfortunate. And he's not the only guy who I've seen like retire because they make more money elsewhere. Right. I think it's not unheard of, but it still is rare. But it just kind of sucks. Like, lacrosse makes money, but there are better opportunities for some people out there.
Yeah. And they kind of disappear too. Like, I would say, like, yeah, that's definitely a problem the PLL has, is like, they do a good job at featuring like a lot of names, especially in like the cross world. They like, it's a, you know, the guys that have won Touratons in years past, and a few other players that have been in, like, have made a name for themselves by continuing to be good in the pros for like at least 5 years, like your Baptiste, Schreiber, T, those guys. I think if you were to like put a picture of them in front of like a medium follower of the game, maybe like whatever, they'll be able to recognize those guys, and they do a good job of that. But I think where they lack is like a lot of like media coverage in terms of like actually talking about the game. Like, you would, I'm not saying like a First Take style like discourse,
right.
But like actually talking about the game. This is something that like I've heard Adam Silver like talk about all the time, where like he just wants like guys to hop on social media and like talk about what they liked and what they didn't like about certain players, versus like, I think the way it's covered right now is this very like, oh, everybody's doing great, like sunshines and rainbows, when in fact, like, I wanted to like talk about if we had time, which I'm very like interested, like Pat Kavanaugh is kind of like, he hasn't played well, honestly, like, and he's like a back-to-back national champion, Touratown winner, Touratown finalist, like he's the real deal. And there's like a world where like, oh, he absolutely just turns it around, like we're talking about with the Outlaws, like they have some chemistry issues, a lot of talent on the team trying to figure it out. But then there's also a world where he might not pan out, and I'm not rooting for that by any means, but like, in if this was your Heisman winner, this would be like very like thoroughly covered stuff. Like, imagine Hunter's like just like giving up touchdowns every week, like, yeah. We would talk about it all the time, like, what is going on here, and make that like an interesting storyline and everything that comes with it. Here we're not. And I think, yeah, like, there's like one situation where I don't want to like talk shit about one of my favorite players, even though like he hasn't played that good.
Yeah.
So, but then like, they don't, I feel like there's not a lot of talking about the game, and everyone's like, yo, they're playing great, everything's fine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think like that last thing you said is definitely just like the case. Like, you go to like, there's like NBA Twitter, NFL, people go crazy. Like, lacrosse just doesn't feel like as much chatter, which is obviously going to happen because it's a smaller league. But I think it is like, there's not a ton of national like media or just like lots of people talking about lacrosse and like criticizing plays and players, like you said.
Yeah, there's not as much of a like a discourse.
Where no, like, yeah, I'm just basically saying like, yeah, like it's just discourse, like whether it's positive or negative, but like, really, like what I don't know, what I'm seeing when I'm talking about Pat Cav is like, he cannot put the ball in the back of the net. He's not beating defenders like he needs to. And like, look, if you're going to be a starting attackman going against the, you know, the best, like, there's like a dozen like close defenders in the league, or like, you know, 20 or so that like will play, like, and you're not beating at least like the majority of those guys. And like, he, you know, when he was at Notre Dame, he was a true playmaker. Like, whoever catches the ball out of his stick or in and around the crease, like, you're good for a goal. You're Jake Taylor, Chris Kavanaugh. And, you know, that's not happening. So, like, I don't know. It's just an interesting part of the game that no one's really talking about.
Yeah.
And then with Atlas, everything's going fine with Atlas, but like, sometimes the offense is brutal. And the goalie, and I mean, the coach going into his third year has a losing record. Like, This should be like it's something fun and interesting to talk about, but I don't see anyone tweeting or talking about it.
Yeah, Sam, it should be you. I think you should.
I mean, we're talking about it now.
Like, get really into it. Like, I think, like, yeah, you're the lane for that.
No, I'm totally here for it.
Like, I don't want to be a lacrosse troll, but, like, you know, put your takes.
No, out. Like, I'm not going to be a troll about it. And I think, like, anyone listening to this pod right now, like, I don't know, like, in terms of, like, podcasts, like, organization, like, I listen to podcasts, but it's clearly organized, but, like, I feel like we're just covering a lot of bases here.
Yeah.
But basically what I'm trying to say is, like, anyone, like, listening to this as a casual fan, I do think there's, like, a learning curve to knowing what we're talking about, too.
Absolutely, yeah, and I think the best way you can do that is by, you know, watching, and I think, like, as we said, you know, the ability to watch games on, you know, ESPN Plus or ABC or ESPN, and, like, people have the ability to, you know, tune in and watch, and I think it's, like, always this time of year is so interesting, because it's, like, you get the tail end of the, you know, I know we're a couple weeks away from the, like, the Final Four, but it's, like, you can get kind of people that were watching college and then can maybe stay interested in the pro game, and it's, like, I think that that's the best way that you can get, like, exposed to this game is by watching, and, you know, as you
well,
said.
Well, Garrett, let me ask you this. What's your favorite part about lacrosse? Specifically the PLL. Well, you can take it however, yeah. Okay, I'm curious to know, I guess, both.
No, I don't know. I think I'm always, like, just impressed at the skill level of some of these guys, where it's, like, doing things like the things that they do. It's, like, it comes so easy to them, and it's, like, same way that you watch, like, basketball or, you know, hockey. You're just, like, amazed at the abilities of certain guys. So I think that's kind of interesting. You know, I've always kind of followed lacrosse throughout my life. You know, both my brothers played. You know, Lincoln Sudbury is not too bad at lacrosse.
Yeah, they're not too shabby. Like, yeah, I think they just beat Natick in the tournament.
Did they?
Yeah, so, I think so. Kind of I mean, look, like Natick lacrosse didn't post a final score, and the last post they had was, like, we're going to play LS, so
yeah.
I don't know.
But no, it's a game that I feel like I've, like, grown up around, and I've seen a lot of different, you know, iterations of professional lacrosse, you know, this and the NLL and the MLL, and it's just, like, just so interesting to see, like, where it's come from, if that makes sense. And I think it's, like, as you guys said, it only will, you know, increase and, like, grow further.
Yeah, I love that, Garrett. I'm glad you found lacrosse.
Yeah, I always love when Garrett texts, like, this game's crazy. It's like, yeah, it is crazy. I'm glad you're watching.
Yeah.
And the PLL is awesome because of exactly what you said to start. Sure. It's like, these guys are unreal.
Yeah.
Like they're better than the college players, because they're the best of the college players. Right. Like, it's just like when you watch the NFL or the NBA, you're like, college football is awesome, college basketball is awesome, but look, these guys are not as good as they are in the NBA or NFL.
I think it's also just sick that, like, the college season ends and then the pro season literally starts right away.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't
it's
really
like the WNBA,
see that.
Man. Same thing.
Yeah. Just feel like
so, what are you seeing? Like, I'm curious to know, like, who's your favorite player in terms of, like, if you were to build a team tomorrow, like, you know, what are you seeing out there?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I always kind of build attack first, because I feel like goal scoring is the most important thing. So it's like I kind of look at any of those guys that can put the ball in the net, like, with ease. So it's like that's kind of the way that I look at it. But it's like, you also need some good midfielders. You need some good, you know, playmakers, some guys that can move their feet defensively. So.
Yeah, it's a great game. It's a great game.
Yeah.
The most, I never really followed, like, the statistics of, like, a lacrosse, like, box score and, like, what it looks like end of season until, like, the PLL. So, like, thank you, PLL. Like, what would you guess, like, a good shooter's, like, shooting percentage is?
That's a good question.
Chris, do you know?
I would, like, guess, like, 50% maybe.
I was saying, like, 30, 35.
Yeah, it's, like, 35 would be really good. Like, it's, like, 30 is you're a strong shooter.
Okay.
Because they shoot a lot.
Yeah, they shoot a lot. So it's, like you said, Garrett, I think, like, you, like, it comes down to scoring goals, because that team defense will beat you most of the time.
And that's the most fun to watch, just guys who can score goals.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, these attackmen go first round unless you're, like, a lockdown defender. Mm-hmm. But, like, defense by committee is going to beat that. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait for CJ Kearse. Like, he is – and Brendan O'Neill's filthy. Those are, like, the two guys I'm, like, watching, like, closely this year.
I also would say, I don't know if it's fair to say, but I think lacrosse might have the biggest variety. And, like, you watch the game, you're like, oh, that guy was awesome versus the box score. It's, like, there are times, like, I think sometimes, like, you'll watch – a game and like O'Neill will like not look, like whatever, zero goals, like two assists, missed like six shots, but it's like he's their whole offense, like
yeah,
he's
doing totally everything
through it, like drawing attention and like making other guys get opportunities. So I think like a lot of times there's the box score is good to look at, but like you don't get the full picture at all.
Totally. It's such a team chem sport. It's very much like hockey where like your loose puck that you battle out of the boards, you sneak, you lose possession again, but if it wasn't for that battle, you wouldn't have then gotten the hockey assist that comes down like in the craziest 30 seconds possible. You know what I mean? Like, I think like lacrosse like mirrors maybe a little more like basketball in terms of like the passing ability, where like you can control the possession a little bit further versus hockey. Like, you're dealing with pucks on ice and, you know, you can get like up close and physical. Right. But like basketball and lacrosse, you can settle it. And then a point I love about lacrosse is that, like, you have Brendan O'Neill, where he's like a true size mismatch in terms of like speed, strength, and just build. But then there are guys with like great hands, like your Ryder Garnsey's, who are very creative. They can scoop the ball off of really a difficult short hop in traffic, finish it all in one sweep. And there's something to be said about those guys as well, where they weigh like half the size, have like what feels like half like the presence out there, but can like really clean up a mess.
Yeah, Sowers. I love Sowers too. Like, he's got the quickest feet in the world, it seems like.
He's so insane. And from X,
he looks small in the field too. Some guys play big, he does not look big.
Well, dude, it's because he's like the X attackman. Like, he's going at these guys one on one and burning them. And I don't know why they don't have Schellenberger and Teat doing that down for the Atlas. Like, those guys are just as good as Sowers. They bring something a little bit different to the table, but like, you know, like, look, if you can build out the right, like, complementing pieces, they're gonna have the same result. Different players, but like I can't believe Atlas doesn't attack from X. They're probably going to this weekend, make it a point of effort for Schellenberger. But I love it. I think that's like the best play you can cook up in lacrosse in like 8 to 10 seconds. Because let's say you don't beat that man top side, or like there's not an inside roll available. Well, you know what? Like, everyone ball they're looking at you. Right, like the whole defense for the most part is like following the ball, and they're looking at the net while all the attackmen are also looking at the net and following the ball and their defender, and they can just create mismatches and lose them. Like, I love it. I don't know why they, like, I would call that up like twice a possession. They might not really have the time with this shot clock, but I don't see it enough.
Yeah, I mean,
That's my speech. That
you're speaking my language. Like, that's what I love to do, man. I love that. Dodge Rex is the best.
Yeah. Oh, what about you, Chris? Like, what's your fantasy team approach? Like, what guys are you watching?
Dude, I don't know. I think it's hard. I mean, I think like obviously you got to get one of the big dog attackmen like Teat or Sowers or O'Neill or one of those guys. Goalie's always huge. I think Entman's phenomenal. Blaise Reardon is phenomenal. And then I typically don't go with the face-off guy. I just like pick one that's kind of cheap, but that hasn't worked out for me well. I don't know. I think you kind of just got to hope to get lucky with like your second midfield or your defense. Like, I've typically gone with like short stick D mids, guys who maybe get a goal, force some turnovers. But I don't know if it works that well.
It's a total crapshoot. I think you got to get like lucky. You got to snipe like Garrett. Are you familiar with like the way like fantasy lacrosse works, where they give you the $200 to spend? So it's like same day DraftKings like fantasy, where you like have like 200 coins and you got to spend on the players, and the players are valued differently. And it's there's a lot of recency bias. It's like what kind of I mentioned earlier. What I love about like a team like the Atlas versus a team like the Outlaws. Outlaws have like a few players that cost a lot of money because there's only a few of them, but like the Archers run super deep and anyone can bag a goal. That's kind of my approach to the game.
Gotcha.
But it's fun. Like, these are the things that I like really appreciate from the PLL that like didn't exist before.
Yeah, that is really cool too, because that gets people, you know, interested and involved as well.
So. Yeah, I agree.
So Chris, I asked Garrett before we started how he felt about the NBA PLL draft we were always talking about doing. Where you like, you take an NBA player and fill him like at like every position on the field, like do a little draft. I could seriously get in on that. I'll be driving in the car and be like, oh damn, like Anthony Edwards, he would be crazy. Like,
yeah, we got
yeah.
I gotta put some thought into it though. I also think you gotta go both ways. Like you gotta do a pick some NBA guys. Like you see them on the lacrosse field, they're like, oh, that they're like playmaking point guards. Like they're like, they're just like,
oh yeah.
Well, I guess just like player comps also.
No, that it's exactly what I mean. Like,
I think it's super doable.
Yeah. Did you want to do it now? Is what I was saying.
No, I'm not prepared.
You need to make a short list. All right,
I need to put some thought into it.
I think I would have to as well, but I could give you a couple.
Yeah, we should do that. We should do that before too late. We need, like, because this is your crossover of NBA and PLL time. I'll tell you my 1-1. Like, if you guys get, like, we'll do a little randomize it just in case. I'm taking Kyrie, like a healthy Kyrie. Just put him in at attack. He's burning everybody. He's like your Michael Sowers, but like, you know, like he has like an element where he can play even. Well, actually, I don't know. He like that's his comp, right, Chris? Would you agree?
Yeah,
he's sick.
You're getting wild. Like,
him and Ryder.
Wait, you're thinking about Ryder Garnsey?
As a player comp, but it's better as Sowers.
I like Garnsey. I don't know who Garnsey would be in the NBA, but like what I like about both is like Kyrie will get like up close to your body and then like burn you with his footwork and his dribbling. Ooh. And both those guys feel comfortable playing like close to their defenders.
Yep. That's a good little sneak peek.
I'm
gonna be watching lacrosse games and be like, writing some notes down who I think plays.
I'm with it.
Yeah, maybe we could return to that at some point.
Yeah, Garrett, how's your graphics team looking? Can they get something going?
Yeah, we can
look something up. We'll find something.
Yeah, we can look into that.
We'll definitely look something up for that.
For sure.
Nice. Nice.
Well, anything else you guys got? This has been great just to be able to talk shop with you guys.
Yeah, I mean, should we put in a prediction? I think we'll end it with that.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Garrett, go first.
Yeah, Garrett, go first.
Oh, you want me to go first? Okay.
Yeah, because if like you don't get it right, you know, like Garrett pick first, you know. We've already supposed to do.
I got to be partial to the Cannons.
Yeah.
Remember watching
Yeah, okay, word.
Nice. I think I was thinking the Cannons over Archers.
Yeah.
All right, I was thinking Archers over Cannons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
we all like
sick game.
Yeah.
That was a sick game.
For sure.
I'm going, I'll tell you, yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Sam. Go ahead.
Why I'm gonna pick the Archers is just like, I love that midfield unit. That's like the blend of like attack and midfield. Like the best part of both. Where I think Mako keeps like technically an attackman, but he can like shoot from outside.
Yeah,
he's great.
Dobson's great. He's a big game player.
Yeah. Big game player. The defense is great. Like Hasek, and then their new guy, Lavelle. He looks good. That's like your third option. No one, that was my research. No one scored on him yet.
Nice.
And he's their third defender. Like, I love that kind of stuff. Cause his reputation was that he's just really mean too. And you need like a young rookie enforcer. Like, I love that. I don't know. That's my squad.
Nice. I like it. Garrett, give me a prediction for the US Open, NBA, NHL. Right now it's just finished Thursday at the US Open, 2-1 Pacers. And it's 2-1 Panthers.
All right. What do you US got? Open, who's in the lead? Or, I'm sorry, who's, like, who are a couple favorites?
I mean, Scottie Scheffler's always a favorite. He's not really up there. Brooks Koepka is two back. He's right there. John Rahm is right there. Spieth, Morikawa, they're four back. They're even par. Hovland is there. Scottie is right now, I think, seven shots back. Bryson's seven shots back.
Let's go. Let's go, Rahm.
John Rahm. Nice.
Let's go.
I like that.
Okay. Geez, putting me on the spot here. Let's see. I said Oilers at the start of the series. I'm sticking with the Oilers. I say it goes seven.
Nice.
Man, I still think Thunder. I'm gonna say six. I said five on the regular pod, but I'm gonna say six. I'm gonna say they figure it out and get it done.
Yeah, I like it. I did place a bet after game one, Thunder and five. Did not hit it, but
I like that.
I hope Indiana wins.
Yeah, I want Indiana to win. I agree. I think OKC is gonna figure it out. I mean, you play seven games, we play seven games. Right. If that's what it takes, like mm-hmm. I just see him getting it done. Okay. Indiana, this is like their can't lose. Are they playing tomorrow? Friday?
Probably Saturday, but I don't know.
Probably Saturday. Yeah, whenever they play that next game, if Indiana wins that, I think they win the series though.
I don't think they will,
yeah, but that's the series. Yeah.
All right. Well, great to get a little other sports into the mix here, but great to have you guys on to talk PLL. I always enjoy having you guys on to, chop it up. So, great to talk to you folks. Any cool. Final thoughts before we sign off?
No, Garrett, this was a treat. I love talking lax. I hope your listeners have learned something new today.
Yeah, what Sam said, thanks for having us on. Always a blast. I'll do it anytime. Thank you.
For sure.